feel so close to you right now. It's a force field. I wear my heart up on my sleeve like a big deal. Your love draws down, I mean, surround me like a waterfall. And there's no stopping us right now. I feel so close to you right now.
Where the unusual becomes usual. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's called Speaking of Strange, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. And that's the place where your money becomes more money. If you go to speakingofstrange.com, you'll find a link to Wright's Coin Shop, or you can call them at 828-298-5402. This hour, we are talking about my free audio booklet available right now at warrenaudiobooks.com. It's called Angels and Demons Beside You, and you can go listen to it. Also, right above it is, right below it is the free audio booklet I wrote last year called The Oblivious Gods. I'm going to keep adding little audio booklets. I try to make sure that they are 30 minutes or less. And that's why I call them audio booklets. And that's because, hey, we live in the Twitter age. Everybody's busy. Most people don't have time to sit down and listen to 2 hours. But maybe eventually these will all be like chapters in the same audiobook. So, you know, they used to release books that way, a Christmas Carol. You know, and they'd serialize it in magazines, one chapter at a time. Maybe that's what's happening here. Shelley Wright, you have had an experience with one of these beings that might be called an angel or a demon, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
What happened to you?
Well, my particular experience would be about a demon. And this is a strange subject for me because I was brought up in the Methodist Church, and I don't really think that we believed anything like that. We never really talked about angels. We never talked about demons. We just didn't talk about it. So I didn't think about it. And it was about, I don't know, maybe 3 years ago, and Forrest was there, and Demented Patty, we were all supposed to go on an investigation together of this place that appeared in your book, Pet Ghosts. And, you know, I didn't think really anything about it. I'd read the book, you know, we'd heard the story, and there were parts of it, I know you know what I'm talking about, that were kind of like a great big joke. And, I don't think that I was taking it seriously enough and had sent me some notes, about a book that you were working on. And it was, an account of some other things that had happened that were very disturbing. And, that, and you had even brought up the possibility of a demon. And I didn't think anything of it. I really didn't. And I remember after our show, it was exactly a week before we went on that investigation. It was right after we had done our live show for Speaking of Strange. A bunch of us had gotten together at a restaurant. We were eating and drinking, and one of your tour guides, who's no longer a guide with your tour company, he heard about it and he wanted to go. He was all excited. Okay, yeah, you know. So he was planning on going. So it was a good night. We were all in a great mood. We all went home to our respective places, and I got home and did what I always do, went to wash my face and brush my teeth, and I'm looking at myself in the mirror, and I looked very strange, my eyes looked weird, and I'm kind of, what is going on? And I realized that I had the eyes, my pupils looked like that of a reptile. I had snake eyes. And I thought, okay, you know, I didn't eat anything unusual. I didn't drink anything unusual or anything more than usual. There were no unusual, out of the ordinary circumstances. But by gosh, I got snake eyes. And I realized it was a warning. Whatever, I personally believe that whenever you're going on an investigation, whatever is there, it already knows you're coming. And it's ready for you, whatever that may be, but it knows you're coming. And it was a warning. And a few minutes later, your guide, your tour guide, called me. It was like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, and he'd had some strange things happen at his house, and he's like, I'm not going. I'm not going, and I suggest that you don't go on this investigation. Something weird's going on. I have a bad feeling. I wouldn't go if I were you. So I got off the phone with him, and I called you, and that was our first little fight that you don't remember, but we were talking about it, and I decided I was going. It's what I do. It's my job, and so I did. But I spent the entire week protecting all of us, and I think that things turned out pretty well considering. Of course, first thing that happened when we showed up, Forrest got stung by a bee, and I didn't realize he was allergic to them. And we did catch some light anomalies on a camera in the barn, and we had a couple of other little strange things that happened, but nothing nearly as bad as what could have happened, as you know, what was detailed in the notes that the, you know, homeowner, the previous homeowner had experienced. And I don't know, I took it seriously. I was respectful, but I was not going to be frightened. And I made up my mind that we were going to do this, but we were going to be perfectly safe. But it was a warning, and I think that was the first time that I've ever, that was maybe the only time I've ever had anything like that happen before, but I knew without a doubt it was a warning.
Well, you know, Shelley, you know, that same location is, as you know, where I also think that I had some demon-type interactions.
You told me about five things that were pretty disturbing at the time, because in this location you had, and of course I knew nothing about that before we were talking about it, all of the cars around the property, around that whole area, they would just inexplicably catch on fire, or they would explode. Something would happen, and there was a lot of activity. You know, Native Americans lived there, and people would see apparitions of them, which we didn't see that night. But yeah, you told me five things that were that never left my mind. You'll be okay if your car doesn't catch on fire, if your car doesn't explode, if you don't get raped, if you don't bring anything back with you, and, oh yeah, if you don't die. So that was, that was what I've left town with, that. And
well, you know, there are people who have died when they went to that location, and it's sort of, and you know, of course, it brings us to this idea, this question of what is the reason that these demons are there? Why do they exist? What is their role? Why do they affect us this way? And if you get back to this audio booklet, Angels and Demons Beside You, I sort of present this case that if we strip away all the noise and we just look at life from the most objective and clinical point of view, all living things consume energy. So each breath of air you take, each sip of liquid, each gulp of food, every time you push a gas pedal or turn a switch on, you are consuming energy. And so if we use that as a guideline for how all living things could or can consume energy and exist, let's apply that to angels and demons as living things. So we take Shelley's experience and my experience at a place that's known for demonic activity. People would go there, they would get sick, sometimes resulting in death. Things would become drained of energy. There would be a great deal of disruption. Well, if a demon is one of these creatures that exists on the boundary of, in the boundary frequency, then this would be a being that is leeching parasitically your energy off of you, because this would be a creature that is trying to subsist on taking and taking alone. Alright? So we obviously, we have to put food in our mouths and chew it up and swallow to get energy, but what about beings out there that might just be able to take it and feed off of you and slowly, deceptively keep taking and keep taking until it kills you? That is what a demonic energy would probably be. Something that's a lower frequency form than humans, that's dark and dense, that energy, well, that light can't even pass through. But when we come back from this break, we'll talk about what an angel may be, the opposite type of creature that gets its energy by giving and feeding you, and how humans are right in the middle. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is the show where the unusual becomes usual. Speaking of strange. Of the Caribbean, from mountain crest to mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds and into the cosmos, we are pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We have assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests, and that's why we are your favorite hub in a wild world. So keep it tuned right here. And it's an interesting show this evening, my friends, because we are doing something we've never done before. We are producing a show which includes three of us, myself, producer Forrest Connor, and investigator Shelley Wright, and we are all three in different locations, and yet none of us are in a studio. So we are really trying to see just how flexible technology is making radio production. I'm in Puerto Rico, and Forrest is on the coast of North Carolina. Shelley Wright is in Asheville, but she is in her own private space. And so if the show sounds a little odd in any way, you'll know why. But we are, as usual, pushing the boundaries, breaking new ground. And we are happy that you are joining us for this. And the potential here is quite extraordinary. So this hour, we are going to ultimately dig in to the topic of angels and demons. I have a new audiobook out called Angels and Demons Beside You. It's free. You can find it if you go to warrenaudiobooks.com, warrenaudiobooks.com. Also, if you visit joshuapwarren.com, you'll see a section that says audio or audiobooks. And you can listen to it there as a YouTube video. It's very simple. There's also a PDF version for the being impaired or those who just choose to have it in writing. And before we dig into that, let me read a story to you about cats, because I think there's an interesting connection here. Cats are considered by many as symbols of mysticism because of their elegant and flexible body, as well as their gaze that can magnetize anyone. But recent scientific data shows there is another reason why cats have a title of mysterious. It's because they can truly see things that we cannot see with our eyes. It turns out they've now proven that cats are able to see UV, that is ultraviolet light. And surprisingly, they say that most dogs can see some as well. Now, mind you, it has been known over the years that certain creatures could see UV. I mean, birds can see UV, and in fact, I remember writing in my book Pet Ghost about how penguins can see ultraviolet light, fish can see ultraviolet light, some reptiles, certainly insects, which are well known for seeing UV, which is how they're able to find certain patterns on flowers and things to show where nectar is. But it turns out many more mammals can. They say reindeer, polar bears. I mean, they use this. In fact, they say reindeer can see polar bears as the snow reflects UV radiation, while white fur does not. Isn't that an interesting thing to consider? And so ultimately, if you realize that cats are able to see ultraviolet light, it could explain why they have so much interest in ordinary objects, like just a piece of paper, because sometimes chemical substances are added to paper, textiles, laundry detergent, shampoos, and cosmetics in order to make them look brighter. And once these optical brighteners absorb the UV, they may look differently in the eyes of an animal that are sensitive to UV rays. So the story goes on to say some people, for example, who have undergone cataract surgery also can see some of the UV light, but most cannot. This is intriguing. Because it reminds us that there is another realm of information, of activity around us that most cannot see. On a side note, I read a story before the break about how the Discovery has a new channel coming out for dogs to watch. It's Dog TV. And Shelley, you said you recently went to the vet and they had a cat DVD.
They did. My cat was being spayed that day, and she had the little kitty ICU room before the surgery all to herself, so she's staying around, and there's this big TV, and the technician comes in and puts a DVD for cats on it, and it had birds and I think butterflies and fish and all kinds of fun little colors and sounds, and she had a big old time there.
So, you see, I mean, animals, under the right circumstances, when given, you know, the right things to be interested in, can be very revelatory, I guess you could say, about the world around us that they are receiving, that they're receptive to, that humans are not. And this takes us straight into this conversation about angels and demons. Because in my new audiobook, which is free again, called Angels and Demons Beside You, I start out talking about the world around us that you can't usually see. Because when the Big Bang happened, it sprayed an infinite spectrum of electromagnetic frequencies all across the cosmos. Some high, some low, some giant, some tiny. And these pulses are the ones that sort of hold matter and form in place. I mean, if you sprinkle sand on top of a piece of cardboard and place it on top of a speaker, that sand will snap into a series of beautiful, organized patterns when certain tones are played. But when you stop playing the tone, the sand falls into a random, disorganized spread once again. So it's these sort of pockets of resonant energy that form these three-dimensional molds that hold material cluster together. So here's this connection you see between the visible and invisible worlds. So you yourself are one of these energy patterns, your physical body held in place by frequencies that you can't necessarily directly comprehend or see. But we have all kinds of frequencies around us that are usually non-physical. The UV range that the cats are seeing into so well is an example of one of these ranges that's too small for us to be able to feel, and usually too small for our eyes to see. Some things, like radio waves, are too big for us to touch and too big for us to see. But there are other types of waves that kind of happen to be right on the boundary between the physical and the non-physical. My favorite example is microwaves. So microwaves are just close enough to our physical realm to interact somewhat. Okay, so they can make little molecules begin to quiver just fast enough to produce heat. And that's why your cheeseburger heats up when you put it in the microwave oven. Well, I propose there are surely a myriad of frequencies that are primarily outside the physical, but just close enough to affect us. And life within that frequency, or within those frequencies, is what we often call a spiritual realm. And that realm might include all kinds of weird things, hellhounds, mothmen, things that occasionally slip in and out of our realms when the conditions are right. But some of the more advanced forms of life there, those that are more similar to humans, are what our human cultures may have come to know as angels and demons. So there is sort of a physical, I guess you could say, pragmatic foundation for what may end up, for what sort of leads us onto this plane of discussion about beings that can affect you on the boundaries of your life by either enhancing it positively or detracting from it in a negative way. Before I move beyond that, I just want to say that a lot of people might toss around the terms angel or demon, but I think that most of us generally realize that when we're talking about an angel, we're talking about something that we perceive helps us. And we talk about a demon, we're talking about something that we perceive harms us or leads us into harm. And before we start breaking down some of my ideas on what angels and demons are, I do want to talk a little about personal experiences. Because part of the reason I took this subject of angels and demons seriously is that throughout my life, I have had experiences, personal encounters with things that I can only explain as primarily angelic. I've had what I'm sure are demonic experiences as well. Sometimes the demonic stuff is a little bit difficult for me to filter out because I go to so many like creepy, spooky, haunted places where weird stuff happens, or you might see some dark, shadowy form, or something troubling happens. I mean, to me, that's always sort of a background phenomenon. So knowing when I may have come into contact with something demonic is actually a little bit more difficult than when you think you've had contact with an angel, because those are times when something crucial is on the line. Like, for example, your life might be on the line, and then something almost supernatural, for lack of a better term, happens that saves you. Those are things that really stand out in your mind, and we would expect that demons would be a little more deceptive anyway, whereas angels would make themselves known when they're needed. So when we come back from this break, I'm going to talk about some of my own personal experiences that I think I've had, especially with angels, and may as well throw some demons in there. We're going to see if Forrest and Shelley have had any kinds of experiences, and then use that to lead us into, again, this ongoing deeper discussion about what angels and demons actually may be. I'm glad you're tuning in for this special show tonight. It's brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop, and I hope that you'll visit their website, WRIGHTS, WrightsCoinShop.com. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and there is much more to come on Speaking of Strange right after this. Can you tell a green field? About this hour, angels, and of course you can't talk about angels without discussing demons. here on Speaking of Strange. I'm Joshua P. Warren. The program is brought to you tonight by Wright's Coin Shop in Asheville. But you don't have to be in Asheville to take advantage of Wright's Coin Shop. Go to the website, wrightscoinshop.com, or call them 828-298-5402. 828-298-5402. And before we get back into these angelic experiences, I just want to mention here that on one of our last shows, I told everybody that if you went to sunshinesimple.com and watch the free video there, you might want to get yourself a Sunshine Simple solar generator for the home, because goodness knows we've had all these tornadoes and flooding and people have been out of power. So many people wish they had a Sunshine Simple generator, and I told you that if you went there, we had a $200 discount. Well, guess what? That is over now. So you missed out. You should have listened to me. If you had gone to sunshinesimple.com like people did all over the country, you could have purchased a generator for $200 off. So even though that is over, I'll give you one more little hint at an opportunity. Right now, I'm doing a promotion with another radio program, Sean David Morton's Strange Universe, and we have a little promotional button there. And if you go to the site and you click Sean David Morton Strange Universe, then you can get $100 off. Now, there are people who are going there and ordering, and they don't realize that, and they're not saving any money at all. But I'm telling you, there's a little tip. You go there, you hit the Sean David Morton Strange Universe button, there's a $100 discount. So, speakingofstrange.com is where you'll find a link to sunshinesimple.com. So, if you're interested in getting a generator, you better do it right now unless you want to pay full price soon. Sunshinesimple.com. When I was just a little kid, I'm talking like barely old enough to really crawl around, my mom has always told me that she and my dad had some kind of a little hatchback car. I don't remember what kind it was. And that I used to enjoy from time to time, I guess, getting out of my car seat, however that happened. I guess I must not have been strapped in very well. And crawling over the back of the seat into the very back section of the car and laying down and going to sleep. And one day, my mom and dad were at a red light on Patton Avenue there in Asheville. And all of a sudden, my mom said she was just struck with overwhelming terror. And she turned around and realized I was in the back of the seat. And she, like a mad woman, went clambering over the seat, grabbed me out of the back, and pulled me up. And less than 30 seconds later, boom, car hits the back of their car and crushes in that entire area where I'd been lying there sleeping. So my mom has always considered that some kind of a divine intervention, a divine experience. Now, fast forward to when I was in the second grade. Another automobile incident. My mom was taking me to school, and we pulled out of our driveway, and our driveway was kind of in the middle of a bad curve. We pulled out of the driveway, and as soon as we got on the road, I believe it was a Trans Am going like 75 miles per hour. It was actually a teenager late on his way to school. Came zooming around that curve and slammed full speed into the back of our car. My mom, in my memory, was sort of knocked unconscious. I saw her go flying forward and back, and her hands were off the wheel, and she looked literally like she was unconscious. I was not wearing a seatbelt, and my body started flinging in this split second toward the windshield. And for some reason that I cannot explain to this day, it was almost like hands pushed me back like I was wearing a seatbelt, even though I was. does not. The car starts careening over an embankment because we lived right. We lived on Lee's Creek Road, and there's a big embankment there with the creek at the bottom. So big that if your car goes over, it's going to flip. And the car goes heading toward the embankment. And I will never forget looking over and seeing my mom is out of it. Her hands are no longer on the steering wheel. The car is heading over toward the embankment, and I watch the wheel, the steering wheel, start spinning. And there was only one tree on that bank, on that section. And that steering wheel spun like it was being guided by unseen hands and guided our car directly to that tree, which stopped it. The other guy, the car that hit us, his went off the bank and flipped. And so my mom was hurt more than I was. I actually was virtually fine. And next thing I know, there are people around. My dad had run down the driveway. He heard the crash. And there are people, opening the door and putting blankets on us, and the cops are being called, and all the chaos of a wreck ensues. But I was virtually unscathed in this, and that was an experience that stands out very distinctly in my mind. Now, fast forward to when I was an adult. This would have been probably something like maybe over 10 years ago, I guess. One afternoon, I'm napping on a Sunday afternoon in the house that Warren and I used to have way out in the countryside of Alexander, North Carolina. And as I'm napping there on this Sunday afternoon, suddenly a very clear, yet almost androgynous kind of voice says in my ear, "There is a snake over there." And I open my eyes, and there was a 6-foot black snake that was about 6 inches from my face, slithering up onto my side of the bed. And obviously, boom, I got up and this epic battle ensued between me and the black snake. The black snake was eventually wrestled him outside of my house where he met his demise. And then a second black snake came in. Point is, I've given you 3 examples of experiences in my life that I have always believed were angelic. The only time a voice has ever spoken to me and said something that intervened with my fate was that time that voice said to me, "There is a snake over there." But I believe that I heard the voice of an angel. And this was a being that made me aware of some impending danger. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'd like to see if Forrest or Shelley have maybe at least one story along these lines. If not, that's totally fine. But if so, I'd like to hear it. And then I'm going to take what we've discussed, and we're going to, again, explore this idea that angels might exist. And if so, what are they? Why are they there? Why do they help us? And how do they compare to demons? That's what we're discussing this hour of the program, Angels and Demons. My new audiobook is at, it's free, it's at warrenaudiobooks.com. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Speaking of Strange is brought to you tonight by Wright's Coin Shop, and we will return right after this.
Thank you.
the final minutes of hour number two. On tonight's Speaking of Strange, I am your host, Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's program brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. Go to WrightsCoinShop.com. Mind you, next hour is going to be the Dark 30 hour, and that's when we talk about some of the more outrageous and controversial news, not for the kiddies and not for the easily offended. My, how this hour has flown by. We were talking about demons, how that these might be creatures that are desperate to survive and they thoughtlessly consume. It might be similar to why a lion might eat every gazelle on his plane with delight, only to find there are eventually no more left to reproduce and maintain his food supply. And at that point, the lion may starve. So it's actually an unenlightened way of consuming. These are lower frequency beings. They don't get the big picture. On the other hand, maybe an angel has a more enlightened way of consuming. Let's look at how humans have learned to tend to their food supply. We try to protect the populations we eat, ensuring that cattle and fish reproduce to maintain what is needed. We try to limit how much we take from a land to retain its ability to grow more crops. And we work together through advanced communication and complex societies, striving to ensure that food is prepared and served in a safe and healthy fashion. And this is why humans have generally and consistently lived longer, healthier lives as the ages have progressed. Maybe an angel is more similar in terms of their energy consumption to humans, and a demon is more similar to how an animal consumes. That basically, an angel is there because it wants to help you. It's in the angel's self-interest to help you. Maybe they're almost like filters. They happily consume your negative energies because they're advanced and strong enough to properly digest them. And that basically the angel's energy is provided by the universe in return for helping you. So instead of taking all of an individual's energy like a demon might do, an angel will help 100 people, knowing that a portion of each person's energy will sort of symbiotically go back to the angel, sustaining its long life and the lives of those helped. So the idea may be here that all things are essentially made of the same substance, energy resonating at different frequencies. But when it comes to this particular spectrum of life forms, you have humans in the middle, this mixture between what we consider spirit and material. And then there are those that via spiritual natural selection have advanced to become more enlightened as consumers, which are the angelic. And then we have those in the spiritual realm that are less enlightened, which are the demonic. And they are gaining their nutrition, so to speak, in different ways. And your goal as a human is to rise up the ladder and to hopefully become more like an angelic being as opposed to a demonic being. And trust me, the option is on the table to go either way. How many times do you read about serial killers and, you know, horrible sick people who are doing everything they can to take and take alone and become evil and demonic? And yet, if we can learn to take this risk to be givers to receive, that's how we evolve. We're out of time here, but if you go to warrenaudiobooks.com, you can listen to the entire audio version of Angels and Demons Beside You. Once again, there are PDFs, and this is all freely available, of Angels and Demons as well as The Oblivious Gods. And if you listen to them and you find them worthwhile, I hope that you will share them with all of your friends. And what you might find is that the concept is to take a subject matter, which we all know about, but it seems kind of silly and unbelievable because we can't quite relate to it in human and scientific terms, and do our best to sort of condense it down into what is a rational way of understanding life forms that exist at frequencies that are different than the ones you and I are used to. The next hour, once again, it's called the Dark 30 Hour. All of you may not want to keep tuned in for this one because we're going to talk about some of the more outrageous stuff happening. We have explored the summit of humankind's enlightenment. We're about to dig into the pit of humankind's depravity. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange.